All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time or those who are listening or watching online, my name is Chris Ha. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and I'm really excited to be walking into this new conversation. I'm really excited about what's happening here in general. Last week, which was the middle of July, I don't know if you know anything about summer months when it comes to organizations, but usually, especially churches, as far as things are concerned, summer months are times when things begin to kind of dip down a little bit. But last week, in the middle of July, here at Hoboken Grace, across all of our different spaces, we had over 521 people who were celebrating with us. It's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal to see how more and more people are getting connected and getting plugged into this mission of helping people find their way back to God. And we're continuing to see more and more people trust Christ with their life and more people taking the step of baptism. All these phenomenal things that are happening. And the longer you're around Hoboken Grace, the more you're going to understand that we believe in going somewhere. And I believe this personally in my life. I want to live a life of significance. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something. I'm not just trying to figure out how to be okay where I am or to be comfortable where I am. I want to do something. I want to do something that matters. And I think that this is what God created the church for, to be on mission. I believe that this is what God created us for. I don't think God's trying to just figure out how you can be okay where you are. I don't think that's what he's trying to do in your life. I think he's trying to move you somewhere. I think you were created to create and to go and to do. When you look at the scriptures, you see it over and over again. I don't know if you've paid attention to this in the past, but God creates Adam and Eve, and what does he do? He sends them out. He says, listen, you go. Go. Subdue the earth. Multiply. Fill the earth. Go. And not only there, you look at when he's having this conversation with his disciples. What does he tell his disciples to do? Hey, listen, guys, stick around. Feel really comfortable. No, he says, go, go, go. He's constantly telling us to go. And he's constantly pushing us to move, to grow. I don't think it's a mistake that you're created in such a way that whether you want to or not, you're going to grow. You can't stop it. You could try all you want, but you're going to grow, okay? It's also, I don't think, a mistake that you're created in a situation where you can't sit still if you wanted to. You ever thought about that? You can sit right where you are right now, but even sitting where you are right now, you are constantly moving. You are on a planet that is spinning. You could not, if you wanted to, stay still. You are in constant motion. I don't think it's a mistake. I think God created us to go, to move, to create, to do. And this is one of the reasons why in my life I can't stand being lost. I hate getting lost. And whether it's being lost in life and being in the midst of a decision that I can't figure out, how do I get around this? How do I move through this? Or whether it's just simply being lost, like physically lost. And if you've ever been on a road trip, you know that the most important person on a road trip is the person who's reading a map, the person who's going to help you get where you want to be. A couple years ago, it was funny, my cousins were driving out from Michigan to visit me. I was living in Scranton, Pennsylvania at the time, and they were driving out. We were going to go to a Penn State football game, so they're going to drive out to where I lived, and then we're going to drive down to State College. And so they left Michigan. They drove down through Michigan. They drove through Indiana. It's all Route 80. If you've ever made this trip, you know what I'm talking about. They drove through Indiana. They drove through Ohio. They got off at the last exit before the end of Ohio to be able to get something to eat. And so they got off, had something to eat, got back in the car. My cousin's friend took over driving, who was also coming out with him. And he drove for about 3 hours. So they're thinking, okay, we're just about there. We're just about there. They get off of Route 80 to be able to go to the bathroom. They use the restroom, get back in the car, and as they get back in the car, my cousin starts driving again. And he realizes as he gets back on Route 80 that they are about 1 mile from the Indiana border. They had driven the wrong way all the way back across Ohio for 3 hours. I told my cousins I would have just left him there. You find your way back home. We're going back. And just unbelievable. It's awful when you find yourself in that situation where you get lost, right? And just for those of you who are Penn State fans, I want to point out, they did eventually make it. We went to the game. Michigan won 35-0. It was phenomenal, okay? And I know we have a ton of Penn State fans that are part of our church here, so there, ha. Okay, but moving on. So they eventually made it, but it's awful the situations where you get lost. And for me, you know, those situations where you're physically lost are bad, but even worse are those situations in life where you're just lost. And you don't know, how do I navigate this? You're walking through something at your job, and whether it's a situation with your boss or with a coworker, how do I navigate this? And you can't figure it out. It's awful. And in those situations, whether we like it or not, there are people who are informing those situations. And it used to be that when we wanted to get somewhere, we would look at a map. Now, we don't use maps anymore, right? Some of you are so young, you don't even know what we're talking about. You're like, oh, you're talking about the app on my iPhone. No, there are these paper things called maps. You can go to museums, you'll be able to see them, and you'll be able to actually pick them up, and it shows you how to be able to get places, actually paper maps. And for some of you, I know that you have no idea what we're talking about, because we just use GPS, these devices that are able to read the terrain, read the map, and help us to be able to navigate where we need to go and how to be able to get there. And not only do we have those as it pertains to how we get there in a car, but I believe in life we have GPS systems, things that allow us to be able to navigate the situations around us, voices that are informing our situation to be able to help us make decisions in the midst of a moment so we can get where we want to go. Now, early on in our lives, those voices are mainly our parents. They're kind of our GPS system. And so they're looking at life and saying, listen, when you encounter this, you need to understand this is how it works, and this is how you move through it, and this is how you react to that, or this is how you should react to that. But then as you grow up, you begin to believe that they have no idea what they're talking about. They don't understand me. They're not going to get me. They're so old. And so you switch voices. Just like a GPS system, right? You just switch voices. And so in a GPS system, sometimes you feel like just a normal, simple voice, and then other times you're in the mood for a British woman, right? Not like that, all right? So you switch voices. And so all of a sudden your professors become that voice, and they're helping you to be able to navigate the turns. And listen, this is how life works, and this is how you need to interact with this, and you need to understand this is how you work. Whether we like it or not, all of us have GPS systems in our lives. Voices that are informing our decisions. Voices that are informing our direction. And because of that, ultimately, voices that are determining our destination. Determining our destination. And oftentimes when we find ourselves in a situation where we end up at a destination that we never intended to be, when we find ourselves in a situation where if you were to go back and ask us 10 years ago if we would ever end up here, we would have said that will never happen, but all of a sudden we find ourselves here. Often in those situations, we will go back and examine the decisions that led us there. And so we find ourselves in a relationship that is just unbelievably destructive. And so we go back and we look at those decisions, and people will tell us, listen, you need to go back and look at what led you there. What were the decisions that led you there? And we'll examine those decisions and we'll think about it and say, okay, yes, this is where I went wrong. This is definitely where I went off course. And if I ever get back there to that decision, I'll make that decision differently. And that's really, really important. And I encourage you to do that. But I think that there's something even more important than examining the decision itself. Because here's the thing I've learned in life. You very rarely ever encounter the same decision twice. And so we learn from that decision and we say to ourselves, listen, if I ever get back to that place, if I ever find myself in that situation again, I'm going to make the decision differently. But oftentimes we never find ourselves back there again. And we've determined that we'll make that decision the right way next time. And while that may be helpful, I think that even more important than asking ourselves, okay, what were the decisions that brought me to this place? We need to take a step further back and to ask ourselves this question. What were the voices that informed that decision? That led you to make the choice that you eventually made. And so you look back and you realize, man, if I could just go back to that moment, if I could just go back to that decision, everything will be different. Don't just learn from the decision itself. Ask yourself this. What were the voices that were influencing that decision that led you to make the choice that you did? Because while many of us would say, if I could go back there, I'd make a different decision, the truth is, we're going to continue to make bad decisions. Because the voices that influence that decision are still the voices that are influencing the decisions as we move forward. All of us have GPS systems in our lives. All of us have voices that are influencing our decisions. Voices that are determining our direction. And voices that will eventually determine our destination. So I think one of the most important questions that we can ask in our lives is this. Who is your GPS? And often it's not as simple as just one person or one thing or one situation. Often it's a combined or a combination of voices. But the question is crucial. Who is your GPS? And whenever I'm having this conversation with people, there's usually at least one person or one situation where there's someone who believes that they're not influenced by anything. And so they kind of have this Lone Ranger mentality, this idea that, listen, I'm not influenced by other people. I just make my decisions on my own. And if I want to live the life that I was created for, if I'm going to live my best life, then I just have to trust myself. I just have to trust my instincts. And you know what? If you want to be able to live the best life for you, then you have to trust your instincts. And you know what? I'm not going to listen to those voices. I'm not going to allow those voices to impact me at all. I think there are two huge mistakes that we make in that. The first one is this. We believe that our instincts will actually lead us to somewhere good. We believe that the path that we're supposed to walk is built into us. I believe that God teaches us that that's a lie. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, God is having this conversation with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10:23. And this is what it says. It says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. Did you hear that? A man's way is not in himself. This idea that you're going to be able to trust your instincts, God's having this conversation with Jeremiah. He takes this conversation and puts it in the scriptures. Because I think one of the things God wants you to understand before we get any further in this conversation is this. Your instincts are not going to lead you where you want to go. And this idea that you're going to be able to figure it out on yourself, that you're a really good GPS system for yourself, God says, no, 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 no. That's not the way it works. Listen to this passage. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Whenever I have this conversation, I know, because I'm kind of that way myself. I have that Lone Ranger mentality, right? Like, I walk my own path. These things, they're all around me, but they're not influencing me. I'm going to just trust my instincts. As God comes to you and to me, he says, listen, I didn't build you to be a GPS system. I didn't build you to be able to understand how to be able to navigate this. I didn't build it into you. You need someone to inform those decisions. You need someone to inform that path. And so that's exactly what Jeremiah is doing. He's coming to God and saying, God, I want you to be that GPS system. You correct me. You show me how to be able to navigate this. You read the terrain and then speak into my life. You can't trust your instincts. Dogs can trust their instincts. And I mean, to be honest, you follow a dog to a dog park, they're always sniffing the wrong thing. I'm not positive that they can trust their instincts either. You weren't created, and God didn't build it into you to be able to navigate the terrain of the life before you, to be able to understand where you need to turn and how you need to adjust. You need someone to be that for you. And in that, the other lie is that you can, in some way, shape, or form, block out all of the voices around you, that I can be in the midst of all these voices and not be influenced at all. It's just a lie. Paul tries to help the Ephesians and the Colossians to be able to understand this as he's writing to these churches in these two different cities, and he's talking to both of them about how they're being influenced by the voices around them. Listen to what he says to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:14. He says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will now be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth." He's talking to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians are in the midst of this culture that where they're just being constantly bombarded by lies, and Paul is seeing that they're influencing them, and they're like these little kids. They're just being tossed here and there and there and there, and all these voices are influencing them. They're just spinning in circles. They're completely lost, and he's trying to call them out of that. He's trying to do the same thing in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 15, it says, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ." He's writing to both of these churches, and he's saying, listen, you need to pay attention to this. These voices are influencing you, and if you don't pay attention to it, they're going to toss you here and there. And so he's trying to call them out of that to something better, something bigger. Call them into a situation where they begin to take control of their direction and their destination. I know for some of us, as we walk through this, we say to ourselves, I'm not being influenced by those. You are. And if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to find yourself in situations. You're going to find yourself making decisions you never, ever intended to make. You never dreamed that you would make. And you'll think to yourself, man, if I could just go back, I'd make that decision a little bit differently. But rather than just deciding to make the decision differently, you need to go and look and ask yourself this question. Okay, who is it that's informing my life? What are those voices that are informing my life that allowed me to be able to make the decision that I made? Who is your GPS? When you think about it in your life, think back just for a moment. Take yourself back to one of those situations. I think almost all of us have one of those situations where you can go back, and it's one of those times in your life that often you think, man, my life would be so different if I could just go back there. Take yourself back there for just a moment. What were the voices that were informing that decision? That were teaching you about how life works and how to be able to navigate it, that allowed you to make the decision that you made. For some of us, we can identify it right away, but for most of us, I'd be willing to bet we're not necessarily even sure. And I think that that's where this conversation begins. And I think one of the things that Paul wanted for the churches in Ephesus, and as he's writing to the Colossians, to understand is this: you need to pay attention to what's influencing you. And you've got to get out of this lie that you're not being influenced. You are. Pay attention to those voices. And in that, I think there are a couple lies that we can believe or mistakes that we can make. And they're very simple principles, but principles that we often forget or in some way, shape, or form negate when it comes to this aspect of who we are. And that is this: you can't listen more and be influenced less. You can't. You can't give voice to something more than anything else and be influenced by it less than the other voices in your life. What you listen to most is going to be what you're influenced by most. And so you can't listen more and be influenced less. And so when you think back on this question of what your GPS system is, I think it can be a myriad of things. In the speaking team meeting, we thought through several of kind of the negative voices that we hear, and we talked about how for so many of us, we work inside Manhattan, and so you're literally walking down streets on a daily basis that are just bombarding you with messages about what's going to make you happy, about what's actually valuable, about what is actually significant. You're constantly being bombarded by this Madison Avenue idea of life and how life works. And while you may think that it's not influencing you, it is. It's influencing all of us constantly. It's something that you have to be aware of if you're going to be able to control the voices that are influencing your decisions, your direction, and your destination. We talked about Cosmo and all the magazines and just the destructive way in which those things can influence us. We talked about Facebook. And it could be good influence, bad influence, but it influences us. If we're on there, it influences us. And sometimes the influence is really just blatant, where people are advising us on how to be able to make decisions. But other times, the influence is more subtle. And so we want to be able to go on that missions trip. And some of you walked in this year and you're like, you know what, I'm going to give 1 week of my vacation to go on that missions trip. But then as you walk through Facebook in the year, you're just watching your friends take all these great vacations to all these great places. And you're like, that missions trip was great. But man, it would be really, really nice to go to Southern California right now. It's being influenced by the things that we're seeing, the things that we're taking in. You may think, no, that's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. It's very real. Coworkers. Some of you work in situations where you're in the midst of a group of people who are living for something very different than what you're living for. And you find yourself struggling to make the right decisions because that voice is just so loud in your life, that life is just about getting ahead, that life is just about the money that you're going to make, that your resources and time need to be spent on you instead of on others. There are all sorts of different voices, and what you listen to most is going to be what influences you most. You can't listen more and be influenced less. This shows up in our life or in our lives as it pertains to entertainment all the time. And one of the ways that I have this conversation more than any other way is as it pertains to entertainment, especially with people who are struggling with lust. Because for some reason we can buy into this idea or this lie that I can in some way watch lust or be exposed to lust, but then overcome it personally myself, that I can be listening to it more but be influenced less. There's a television show that came out this summer that I think illustrates the point perfectly. It's called Mistresses. I don't usually talk about TV shows other than just making jokes, but I think it just so perfectly illustrates this point. It's an entire TV show, an entire series, just built on the idea of having affairs and walking through and entertaining ourselves with affairs. I had a mentor that said it to me this way. He said, we can't continue to entertain ourselves with sin without believing that eventually our entertainment will be sin. And sometimes we can begin to believe that this principle doesn't apply to certain areas of our life, but it does. And what you listen to most, what you expose yourself to most, will be what influences you the most. You can't listen more and be influenced less. You can't. And the flip side is true as well. You can't listen less and be influenced more. And so for some reason, when it comes to this idea of who God is, for some of us, we've bought into this lie that God magically, even though we listen to him less, even though he has less space and time in our lives, that somehow God is going to magically influence us more, even though we listen less. It doesn't work that way. It isn't magic. And if we want God to be the one who influences most, then we have to listen to him the most. And yet for a lot of us, when we look at the voices in our lives, the things that we're exposed to, the things that we are around, the conversations that we have, when we begin to compare how much we listen to the time and the space that we give to God's voice, it doesn't even begin to, in any way, shape, or form, compare to the extent that we're listening to these other voices. And so as Paul comes to the Ephesians and as he comes to the Colossians, he's trying to call them out of this. Listen, these voices are influencing you guys. You have to pay attention to it. Know how you're being influenced, but not just know how you're being influenced, but you can begin to take control of that. You can begin to come out of that. And one of the ways that you can do that is by limiting the other voices, but a lot of them you can't limit. You can't limit the messages that you're going to receive as you walk to work. You can't limit certain things that you're going to be exposed to. You absolutely, positively can't. But at the same time, there are situations where you can control them. And more importantly, the thing that Paul wanted to see in the lives of the Colossians was not just that they would limit those other voices, but that they would begin to literally grow down, that they would begin to raise the voice of God above all else in their lives. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. I actually want to take you back two verses earlier. Listen to what he says, how he's talking to them about how to be able to overcome those voices, not just by limiting them, but by increasing the voice of God in their lives. Verse 6, just a couple of verses early, says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." All of us have a GPS system in our lives, a voice that's informing the decisions, the direction, and the destination of our lives. You can't make it without it. You need it. It's not in you to know the way. And so God sends his son, Jesus Christ, to give his life for you so that you could be adopted as a son or daughter of God. And as a father, he could come alongside of you and say, listen, let me lead you. And if you let me, I will lead you to the life that is better than you could possibly imagine, to a life that is so much more full than anything that you've ever experienced before. If you just let me lead you. And so he gives us the scriptures, and the scriptures is just our Father trying to help us to understand. Listen, when you encounter this, this is how you go around it. He tells us stories of all these people who've come before us so that we can understand the situation, understand how to be able to navigate it, how to be able to make it through that. But more than just it being a book, God wants to be able to communicate this to us in here, but then he also, like a GPS, wants to be able to literally speak into your life. To speak into those decisions. And there are all sorts of different ways that you can raise God's voice in your life. So as we ended the experience series a couple weeks ago, we talked about how we can begin to make our time listening to his word more of a priority. We can begin to use music and these other things to be able to encounter him, to come to him, to bring our hearts to him, to allow him to begin influencing those decisions in that direction for every single one of us. So for some of you, it started off and you're just going to try it, just 15 minutes, just soaking him in. For others of you, you committed, listen, I'm going to begin doing that 3 days a week. I'm going to begin doing that 5 days a week. As we go through this series, we're going to be talking about how we can continue to raise God's voice in our lives, where he can become the dominant voice in the midst of those decisions. One of the reasons why we give you those memory verse cards is so that you can begin to memorize his word. And as you memorize his word, he's going to be able to speak to you in the midst of those decisions, in the midst of those detours. So that you know, okay, this is how I move forward. So that we don't end up lost, just spinning our wheels, running around in circles, but that we live life with a purpose and a mission. That's what Sunday is all about, raising God's voice. And God comes to you and to me and says, listen, I want to be, more than anything else, your dad. To be able to take you by the hand, and to be able to walk you through this, to be able to read the terrain. I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who created your story. I'm the one who understands what's next. Let me be the one who helps you to navigate the terrain, to lead you to a life that is truly life. But if that's going to happen, you're going to have to understand the voices. You have to pay attention to the voices that are influencing you. You're going to have to begin to raise his voice so that he's the one that you listen to the most. There are all sorts of really unique ways that you can do that. One of the ways that you can do that is just by simply beginning to pay attention to who it is that you call first when you're in the midst of a difficult situation. And sometimes people will come to me and they'll be talking to me about this and they say, how do I do that? I said, well, who do you text first when something great happens in your life? They usually tell me a name of their friend or someone that they're married to or dating. You know, I usually text them. I said, well, okay, just before you ever text them, just talk to God about it first. Begin to raise his voice in your life. Who is it that you call when something goes wrong? And usually we'll pray about things, but usually we pray about things after everyone else couldn't help us. And so rather than praying about it last, begin to pray about it first. Raise God's voice in your life. And look at ways that you can begin to build that into your life on a consistent basis. But not only do you have to raise God's voice in your life, but if God is going to be the one who influences you above all else, then this is what you have to do. And this is a huge mistake that we usually make when it comes to God. Usually, we will allow God to be that voice in our life when something has gone really, really wrong. So usually, we will consult God in the midst of an accident. And so we're on our road and we're going the direction that we're going, and then all of a sudden, there's an accident in front of us, and so we call God. Say, God, okay, this has gone really, really bad. I don't understand what's happening here. Can you please help me get around this? Can you please redirect me? Are there back roads that I can take? How do I get through this? But if God's going to be the dominant voice, if he's going to truly be the one who leads you through this, then you have to be willing to listen in the small decisions as much as you do the large decisions. And one of the mistakes that we make in life is that we think that we are where we are because of the big decisions that we've made. And that's true. But oftentimes, it's just as important, all of the small decisions that we've made along the way. And for many of us, we stop listening to God in the midst of the small decisions because we think, this is, and really this is true about prayer in general. Anything you're not praying about, you think you can handle on your own. Anything you're not praying about, you think you can handle on your own. It's just true. And so with the small decisions, we think we can handle this. I understand this. The way is built into me. I understand the decision to make. I understand the turn to make here. I understand how to navigate this. And so in the small decisions, we stop listening to God. We stop allowing him to be the dominant voice. And because of that, we end up getting really, really lost. And we find ourselves in the face of a large decision, and we call him in. And so rather than being a GPS system, he's more like AAA. And if something goes really, really wrong, if we blow a tire, if we run out of gas, then we want him to come rescue us. But we're living our lives lost because we're not listening in the small decisions as well as the big ones. All of us have a GPS system. All of us have voices that are informing those decisions and our destination. Who is yours? God gave his life because he has a beautiful plan for you. He has a beautiful role for you inside this unbelievable story that he's telling. And he wants to lead you to where you live that to the fullest. But if that's going to happen, then he has to be the dominant voice. You have to trust him to be the dominant voice. Raise God's voice. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. Will you pray with me? Father, as we come into this conversation, I want to pray first of all that you would just give us wisdom. The truth is that this is just such an unbelievably practical conversation. And yet, for so many of us, we've allowed ourselves to be influenced without paying attention to what's influencing. And so I pray for wisdom. I pray for every single person who's in this room that their eyes would be open to what it is that's influencing them, to the voices that are informing their decisions. I pray that we would leave behind the lie that we can somehow manage it without anyone else, that we can somehow manage it on our own. I pray that we would leave behind the lie that we're not being influenced, that we would understand the reality of how these voices impact us. And I pray that we would be able to see them. I ask that in your love and your grace, you would allow us to be able to see them. I pray that we would no longer be a victim of the voices around us, but that we would take control of our direction. I pray that we would commit as we move forward from today that your voice would become the one that influences us above all the others. Not by some magical way in which you overcome the fact that you're listened to less, but that your voice would become louder than all the rest because we intentionally create space and time to raise your voice in our lives. Because we trust you. That you won't fail us. That you are not distant and disengaged, but that you, as our dad, are leading us forward to a life that is far greater than what we could possibly imagine. In Jesus' name.